These are uncertain times, but Munson Savings Bank continues to grow and evolve, most recently by opening a new loan and operations center in Wilbraham and a new branch in East Longmeadow, scheduled to open later this summer. At Munson Savings Bank, we believe in going above and beyond to create solutions for people, businesses, and our community.
Hello, and welcome to Business Talk, presented by Business West and Living Local, and brought to you by Munson Savings Bank. Hi, I'm Chris Kellogg from the Kellogg Crew Morning Show on 94.7 WMAS, and here is your host for this episode of Business Talk. He's the editor and associate publisher of Business West. Here's George O'Brien.
Okay, good morning, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Business Talk, a podcast brought to you by Business West in partnership with Living Local, sponsored today by Munson Savings Bank. We've got a great show today. We have Paul Kozib. He is the founder and president of V1 Vodka. But just as important, he is one of the five finalists for an award we created here at Business West called our Alumni Achievement Award. Let me tell you a little bit about it. Most of you know we run a program called 40 Under 40. We recognize up-and-coming stars in the region, those who are under the age of 40. A few years ago, we created a new award. We called it then the Continued Excellence Award to recognize a 40 under 40 alum, if you will, who has gone on to embellish their resume and do even more great things than they were doing before. We changed the name to Alumni Achievement. We think that sounds a little better, tells a little bit more about what it is. And we have five finalists this year. We're going to be introducing them in the podcast over the next several weeks. And this year, our finalist is Paul Kozib. Paul, a deal statement, someone who needs no introduction. I'm not sure if that qualifies with you, but for most people, you don't need an introduction. You started your own vodka label. I think it's been going on 15 years now. And you've continued to write new chapters in that story. We want to talk a lot about that today. First of all, welcome. How are you?
Hey, George. Thanks so much. It's an honor to talk to you. The Business West has supported me and V1 since the beginning. And as a matter of fact, you guys were there with me, and you called me on one of my darkest days of my life when back in 16, I found out I needed open heart surgery. It was kind of a shock because I was completely healthy. And I got home from the hospital from visiting the doctor saying I needed the surgery in May. And you had told me that I was the Entrepreneur of the Year for 2016. So that meant a lot to me back then. So Business West has been, you know, an integral part of my story. And I appreciate being on the podcast with you today.
Well, we're happy to have you. It's been a great story. Like I said, I was there. Oh, like I said, 15 years ago, back then you had just gotten started. I think you had one vehicle, and you were making most of the deliveries yourself. For those who don't know the story, can you just tell it very quickly how you got off the ground? And then I want to talk a lot about how you've taken the vodka label well beyond Western Massachusetts and into different areas. But then I also want to talk about entrepreneurship and what it takes to succeed, and not just in your field, but in all fields. But start with the story. For those who don't know it, it's a very intriguing story.
Thank you. It goes back to September. So this September 1st will actually be exactly 15 years since I sold my first bottle. But if you back up two years previous to that, I was in Alaska on a fishing trip with my brother, and had found out my 90-year-old Polish grandfather had passed away, and we were so far in the woods I couldn't even come back in time for his funeral, and we were very close. And so when I got back, you know, I was pretty upset. I just bought my first house. I was in it all by myself, and I was thinking about my grandfather and his stories about making moonshine during Prohibition, and my dad, who passed away, you know, before him, who was a very successful Western Mass entrepreneur. And I found out that my grandfather left me $6,600 and something. And I said, you know, this banking job is not fulfilling in my life. I'm 28 years old. I want to do something. I had a passion for brewing and distillation. And so literally I went into my basement in that fall winter of 2013, started distilling, then that summer of 2014, I flew to Poland to meet with some vodka experts. And then it took about another year. And September 1st of 2005, I launched V1 Vodka here in Western Mass. Like you said, one van, one person, going up and down, you know, Memorial Drive, Route 9, all the stores around here. And now 15 years later, here we are in 10 states.
Now, you're not the only one who's had this dream of starting a vodka label. As a matter of fact, it's hardly unique at all. You want to kind of tell us the numbers? I was shocked when you told me how many different people launched.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, I kind of wish we were on a video, because I would turn my camera around. I'm here in the V1 headquarters in Hadley, and I have a nice supply. It almost looks like a graveyard of other vodkas that have come and gone in the last 15 years. I probably have a few hundred here. But, you know, when I started in, you know, my journey, there was, I think, less than 100 distilleries in the United States. And today there's over, you know, thousands, a couple thousand at least. You know, there's over 1,000 vodka brands on the market in the United States. And also in Poland, there's been the trend, actually the opposite, where there used to be hundreds or thousands of small distilleries, and everything has merged, and now there's only a handful. So I know we'll get into that later, but I was one of the first people since 1960 to build a distillery there, and kind of this reemergence of craft distillation in Poland is something that's happening. But yeah, there's thousands of brands, and you know, I could name 20 just off the top of my head that entered the Western Mass market and aren't around anymore. And as a matter of fact, the study goes that 97 out of 100 vodkas will fail within the first 3 years.
So talk about the progression, how you've taken the label from Western Massachusetts, now well beyond it. You're in a number of Eastern states, and I think you're trying to take the label beyond this area. Kind of talk about your geographic expansion, if you will.
Yeah, I would say, George, it's been one of the most challenging aspects of my business is, you know, we Western Mass has been great. The Big E, you know, the large liquor stores around here have supported me, and you know, through, you know, publications like Business West to get the word out what we're doing, why we're different. But when you want to scale that up, you know, my competitors, a big vodka brand, will easily spend $20, $25 million a year on a national marketing program for 1 year. So it's very expensive to, when you're trying to tell that message, you know, in Minnesota or New Jersey or other places where, you know, there's a lot of things going on. I'm no longer the local guy. But, you know, we grew from, you know, Western Mass to Massachusetts in the first couple of years, and then we tried Rhode Island, we tried Connecticut, we were in, we're out, now we're back in. But really, for me, it was more about ensuring my production, you know, and my new packaging, and that's probably a week long podcast. I could talk about my new bottle and the troubles and the turmoil we have with that, and the difficulty of creating something new, glass and new shapes and molds and all these things that you just kind of learn trial by fire. But you know, I wasn't ready necessarily to grow the brand because we were renting equipment in Poland for the first 13 and a half 14 years, and we had great producers, but over time they got, one got a lot larger, another, you know, at times would not send me product when we needed it. So I think for me, mentally, I wasn't ready to grow to a larger brand because I didn't necessarily trust my production. And I didn't have the $5 or $10 million to build my own distillery. So that kind of held me back in some ways. And then in 2017-18, you know, the production issues got even more difficult in Poland, and that really drove me to say, okay, it's time for me to sell a minority share of the business and raise some money and build my own distillery. So I spent quite a long time looking for locations, and, you know, until I found the one.
Interesting. This is Business Talk, a podcast presented by Business West in partnership with Living Local, sponsored today by Munson Savings Bank. We're talking with Paul Kozib. He's the founder and president of V1 Vodka, and as I mentioned, one of the finalists for Business West Coveted, as in Coveted Alumni Achievement Award. Paul, talk about how difficult it is to break through in some of these markets. You can't just walk up to bars and restaurants and package stores and say, hey, I've got a great new vodka label. Can I get on your shelves? Talk about how difficult that is and just what the process is like.
Yeah, like I said, there's over 1,000 brands, and each one is trying to tell a story, and many of them are owned by some of the biggest companies in the world, the Diageo, Pernod Ricard, Constellation. You know, these companies wield a lot of power, and they have other brands that go along with that. So if you want their, you know, top-selling Merlot, they're going to make you take, you know, their vodka. So and the other thing, too, is if you manufacture a pen, you can go and sell that pen anywhere in the country, and the laws are – the restrictions are very limited. Alcohol is a drug. It's – every state is different. And I was actually telling – my friend the other day that what I've learned in the last 6 months, I think is equal to the last 14 and a half years, because we are entering new states and new markets. And just the amount of paperwork to go to, let's say in Ohio is like New Hampshire, where it's a control state, which means it's run by the state government. So there's many levels, there's many layers when you're talking alcohol distribution. And I'm sure we'll talk about it, you know, with my new addition of the two new people that joined my business in January. One is a top-level executive. He was a top-level executive with Jim Beam. And so this has really helped kind of navigate in this distribution, because literally you go into Connecticut, it might as well be going into Mexico, because the laws are so different. Every state has different liquor laws, different restrictions, different pricing. Different ways of doing business because it is alcohol.
How has I'm sure the pandemic has impacted business in a lot of different ways. I think, you know, I've read and heard that, you know, some of the package stores in this area are actually doing more business than they were before. People are home more. You're obviously selling more, but it's got to be difficult to break into restaurants and bars. They're mostly closed. How has the pandemic hurt your desire?
Yeah, it's really changed the landscape of virtually every business that I know, and you know, affected so many people's lives. And obviously, we pray for the people that lost their lives with the virus. But for me, we had about half our business bars and restaurants, and half our business liquor stores. But even more difficult for V1 Vodka, which I didn't know until I looked back, the beginning half of the year, so say January through June, 70% of our business was bars and restaurants. So we're talking March, April, May. You know, I lost upwards of 70% of my revenue. And, you know, this money you'll never get back. You know, the bars in Holyoke that had all the St. Patrick's Day events canceled. I mean, a lot of them rely on that to survive the year. And so it was very difficult, you know, very, you know, and then with liquor stores being open, it was like, you know, I was and my team was essential personnel. So we'd still have to be out there every day servicing the liquor stores. You know, I didn't take a day off from March 16th when they announced the COVID restrictions until today that we got to keep going. But in our business, we call it on-premise, off-premise. So off-premise are liquor stores, and on-premise are bars and restaurants. And off-premise has obviously been doing great because people don't have as many places to go and drink, so they're drinking at home. So there's a whole shift for, you know, I did a bunch of videos with home mixology and, you know, how to make drinks at home and glasses and ways to make a drink, to mix the drink, ingredients. So, you know, to be around for this amount of time, you know, with or without the pandemic, you have to learn how to adapt and to to meet the needs of the current economy. But it's, you know, my heart goes out to that bar owner who, you know, is there in the morning and leaves at 2 a.m. and his business has been closed. All these legions do very well with a couple of the local legions. I mean, one of our top customers, the Young Men's Club in Hadley, or the Hadley Legion, or, you know, many of these other bars, they still haven't opened. And so, I don't know how they're going to survive. You know, what they're predicting from the National Restaurant Association or the Massachusetts Restaurant Association, especially as the weather gets colder, then people won't be able to eat outside as much as they are now. It's going to be very difficult. So it's a very challenging time for everybody.
This is Business Talk, a podcast presented by Business West in partnership with Living Local, sponsored today by Munson Savings Bank. We are talking with Paul Kozub, the founder and owner of V1 Vodka, one of our finalists for the Business West AAA Award. Paul, you've already got a couple pieces of hardware for Business West. You've got our 40 Under 40 Award, and as you mentioned at the top, you've got our Top Entrepreneur Award. Talk about just the life of an entrepreneur. A lot of people think it's, I don't think easy. That's not a word to come to mind. I think it's kind of glamorous. It's something that they always wanted to do, something they've aspired to, but it's tough every single day. You want to kind of talk about what your 15-year journey has been like?
Yeah, well, I often say that my worst day at V1 is better than my best day when I was a banker. I grew up in an entrepreneurial household with my father, and when he started his manufacturing business in Indian Orchard when I was 4. And by the time I got to high school, he had started when I was 4 with just by himself, one employee, you know, the next month. And then by the time I got to high school, he had over 150. So I got to see that, you know, firsthand and how hard he worked, you know, the 10, 12, 14, 17 hour days. And, you know, never kind of being off. But it's my passion, and it's, you know, being an entrepreneur. For me, one of the things that I think about, it's equal parts tremendous confidence and equal parts fear of failure. You know, every day I fear that, you know, something isn't going to work, or we're not going to be around in the next quarter or next year. And that's what drives me to kind of make sure that the liquid inside every bottle of V1 is, you know, world class, and that everything we're doing is in a smart way and not spending too much money on things that we don't necessarily need. But I'm also confident, again, because when you taste it, tasting is believing, you know, whether it's our original or cucumber or berry, grapefruit, you know, all these are top-notch flavors. You know, we won the biggest vodka tasting in the world in 2010. We won 95 points superb from Wine Enthusiasts. We won several other gold medals. So, you know, that we've confirmed that V1 is one of the top vodkas in the world. So that gives you the confidence to go to these new states, and tasting is believing. So we have a lot of new exposure with our two new partners. And I often get emails or messages on social media. Where can we get a bottle? Is it as good as this vodka or that vodka? Well, buy a bottle, bring it home, taste it against what you have there. And 9 times out of 10, well, the feedback will be, yeah, V1 is cleaner. It's better. And but as far as the life of an entrepreneur, you're never off. You're always on. And even when I'm on vacation, which is a lot less than when I used to be in my previous position, I'm always bringing bottles to take pictures, whether it's on a beach or thinking about drinks. And, you know, I'm still involved in all aspects of our social media. And so having a lot of content for that. And when I'm in Poland, when I can fly to Poland, unlike now, things that that go on there, and as far as telling the story and the storytelling, it never ends.
Not to make this sound like a job interview, but where do you want to be in 5 years?
Well, I'm pretty confident. Once this virus is up, we will be in all 50 states in the U.S. We actually have pretty significant distribution in this year in Poland through my partner there. I own 51% of our distillery there, and my partner, Andrzej Balas, has done a great job in getting V1 in a number of cities in Poland. So I think, you know, expanding our distribution to Europe, Germany, and some of the surrounding countries to have V1 be a national brand. And, you know, I have a case number where we'd like to be in 3 to 5 years. That's about 50% bigger than what we are now. So just continue being innovative. I have a new flavor that I haven't announced that's coming out for this Christmas. And that's been one of the toughest things for me, is not going to Poland and working on innovative vodka things that we want to do in the future. We grew 5 tons of spelt in Hadley this year, and it was just harvested, and we're going to be shipping that over to Poland for a special edition of V1. So do some things like that. And I have V1 that's aging in a barrel. It's been in a barrel for 13 years, so almost like a whiskey type of product. So increased distribution to the entire U.S. and some select European countries, and increasing our case amount at least, you know, 25 to 50 times of what we're at now.
Okay. Well, good luck with all that. Knowing you as I do, I don't think there's a goal that you can set that you can't eventually reach. great story. Good luck to you again with that, and thanks for being our guest today.
Oh, my pleasure, George. Thanks for everything Business West has done throughout the years.
All right. Thank you again. And thanks for listening, everyone. Remember to join us next time for another episode of Business Talk, presented in partnership with Living Local, sponsored today by Munson Savings Bank.